You're listening to The Ground Floor on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm your host, Cynthia Scherr, and my guest today is Travis Rigby, president of flowerbox.com and publisher at Wildflower Media, Inc. Welcome, Travis. It's great to have you.
Thanks so much for having me.
So you've had an interesting career, starting with postergarden.com and then switching to floral journalism. Tell us a little bit about how you made the switch over to publishing books about flowers.
Sure. So Poster Garden was a trade show display company. We were located in the Pearl District of Portland, Oregon. And our neighbor was Floral Design Institute, and we became friends, similar interests. And she introduced me to both Flower Box and to Wildflower Media. So Wildflower Media was primarily a magazine, Florist Review. The magazine I sold in 2020, but kept the books. We have about 30 titles. And they range anywhere from coffee table books to how-to books to designer compilation books.
How did you start Flower Box, and how did that grow out of it, or did you get them at the same time?
So Flower Box was a separate company I bought in 2016, and it was introduced as a way for florists to have a recyclable way to sell their flowers.
So flowerbox.com is something very different than a book, and it sounds like flowerbox.com solves a certain problem in the florist industry. What kind of problem were you trying to solve there?
Flowerbox was originally designed as just a simple cardboard box with a plastic liner inside, and that's the company that I originally purchased. But I had the vision that the box could be designed so much better and in a much better way. We partnered with a company in Europe who had their own version, and we combined our version with theirs and came up with the secondary version. From there, we outsourced to China and upgraded the product even farther, making it more recyclable, easier to use, easier to open. And we just kept on developing the product into something better and better as we went.
And so what problem does that solve for florists or for consumers by having a box instead of a glass vase or, you know, some of the other products you would buy at a florist shop?
Sure. So for florists, the boxes fold flat, so they ship flat. They don't break in shipping. They're waterproof. They can use it as point of sale. They can use it to deliver flowers in. The biggest buyer of the flower box currently are for wedding bouquet delivery for brides. And so they can be customized for brides, and they sit at the head table, and it's a place for them to place their bouquet while they're mingling with their guests.
Yeah, and in case you're having like this vision of like a UPS or an Amazon cardboard box, that is not what we're talking about. This is a really beautiful paper box with ribbons, and you know, it really does look like a floral presentation, and it's lightweight.
Right, and easy to store. So a lot of the florists complain that they just don't have the space. Even in mass market grocery stores, the spaces for flowers are very small. So to be able to store 100 vases in a very small box is, you know, it's a boon for the industry.
Yeah, so it solves a lot of problems, it sounds like.
Yeah.
And you sell mostly to the trade, or do you sell direct to retail, or both?
We do both, but primarily to the trade. But you can go online to flowerbox.com and see the pricing and structure there.
Great. And then I noticed on your website, you also have this cool thing where a lot of times people want to give bubbly and or wine and flowers. So talk about that product. And it's called like a bottle bouquet clip. Is that right?
Right. Mm-hmm. So with the magazine, we had an advertiser in the UK that produced these small clips that go on a wine bottle or a large church candle you could use them for. And so we started importing them from the UK, and they're a great accessory for instance, in a wedding for a centerpiece, you can have a bottle of champagne in the middle with flowers attached to it, and then the centerpiece can go home with the guest. People use them for get-well gifts, for, you know, hostess gifts. It's just a fun way to decorate. So we had an influencer go online with these bottle bouquet clips. And within a week, we sold out our entire inventory. So we discovered in that process that influencers are very important inside the industry. And it was just an amazing experience to have something so unusual happen to us.
Yeah, I bet. I bet that just really makes things blow up.
Yeah.
Lots of people have had to deal with that. Like, oh my gosh, we're out of inventory. Some influencer picked up on us.
Yeah.
So I learned from talking to you earlier about, you know, where most cut flowers come from in the United States, and I was surprised. Can you talk to us a little bit about, you know, the cut flower industry and how that's evolved? Because that was part of why you came up with the solution with Flower Box.
Yeah, and it also leads to the next evolution of Flower Box. So back in the 80s, the U.S. government encouraged and subsidized and took away tariffs from Colombia and Ecuador so that they would produce flowers instead of some of the more infamous farm products. And that really changed the industry and made the industry move overseas. So most flowers that were grown in California or along the East Coast were now being grown in South America. Also, at the same time, most products that florists are selling are coming from China. So now the industry is very dependent upon all of the imported products coming in from outside of the U.S. rather than selling local products.
So does that mean when I go to Albertsons or Safeway or Trader Joe's, the flowers I see there traveled thousands and thousands of miles to get into my dining room, onto my dining room table?
Right. So something as organic and wonderful as flowers, you don't realize have such a huge carbon footprint because they have to travel so far to get to you.
And what are some of the options for, you know, buying more local flowers?
Well, there's some wonderful local grown flowers, and there's a huge movement among florists called the farmer florist. So florists are actually growing their own flowers. We have some here locally in the valley. We also have some great resources, Slow Flowers Movement, started by Deborah Prinzing in Seattle. The specially cut flower growers, if you're interested in finding some of these growers in your local area, those are two great resources to go find those.
Yeah, and just shout out to Joan Thorndike, who has Lemira Gardens here locally and sells beautiful organic flowers in several places.
She's wonderful, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So what is different about being able to buy flowers and arrange them locally rather than having them have come so far? Like, do you notice a difference in quality or in how long they last, or what do you notice?
So there's a few things you notice. One is pesticides. There's a lot less pesticides used locally. The greenhouses use lots of chemicals overseas, and then they're brought here. Back in 2007, there was an author who wrote Flower Confidential, Amy Stewart, and she really exposed the problems with bringing flowers in from overseas, child labor and the chemicals and all of that stuff. So if your listeners are interested, that's a really great resource.
Great, thank you. You're listening to The Ground Floor on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Cynthia Schur, and today we're speaking with Travis Rigby, president of flowerbox.com and publisher at Wildflower Media, Inc. So I know your business is evolving from the original Flower Box into a new improved version. Can you talk a little bit about how you had to do that and where that's being manufactured, and just talk a little bit about why you're pushing this product yet another phase?
Yeah, so ever since I bought the company, I always wanted to produce here locally in the United States. That was a very difficult proposition because the plastic bag was inserted inside of the box with labor, and labor is expensive in the U.S. I also didn't like the idea that it included plastic. I wanted to have a completely paper product. So I've been searching around for years trying to find a vendor, and we finally came across Graphic Packaging International. It's a multinational company. They put us into their, for better term, their testing program to beta test these new products. And they partnered with us over the last year and a half to create something that is completely paper. It's mostly waterproof. I really have to say it holds water for weeks, even months, and is very durable, much more durable than our Chinese product, and is completely 100% recyclable and a completely American-grown trees and American-made paper and manufactured in Chicago. So it's everything that we wanted, all wrapped into one package. So it's the perfect product at the perfect time, as you know, with the tariff changes.
Yeah, excellent. Wow. And does that make the product more competitive now, or is it still quite a bit more expensive than the previous non-recyclable version?
Because we took labor out of the mix, the whole process is automated. It's very competitive with the Chinese market, and we don't have to ship it across the ocean to get here. So that saves some substantial amounts. And of course, we don't have the price fluctuations with the tariffs.
Right, right. Wow. I mean, I just think of the number of vases in my own cupboard, and like when I give gifts of flowers, it's so amazing to be able to just like, oh, I have a shelf of flower boxes and I could bring one of those instead.
Yeah, I'm always surprised that people keep them. They are reusable, But the intent was to be recyclable. But I think it's wonderful that, you know, I give flowers to people and then I find them on their shelf. So it's amazing. It's great.
Yeah, yeah. So what have been some of the advantages of running a company from Southern Oregon? How has that changed for you? Because you've been all over.
Yeah, so I lived in Portland for 30 years. I lived on the East Coast for six. And Ashland is, and the Valley is just a beautiful place. The lifestyle here is much easier. Finding warehouse space and creative people has been fun and interesting. And it's been a very supportive place to have a business.
Great.
So, yeah.
Great. And so if people wanted to buy a flower box and look at them online, where would they go?
Flowerbox.com.
Flowerbox.com.
Super simple.
Great. Well, I like that. You can remember that really easily. And do you have a what's next? Like, what's your next big thing?
I'm going to get this new product launched this summer, and then from there we'll see.
Okay. Okay. Well, you've innovated so many times. Let's switch now a little bit to your publishing business. Like, how does that work? I know I've seen pictures of your books, and they're absolutely beautiful. How do you decide what to publish? Do you reach out to people? Do they find you? How do you decide what kind of flower books to publish?
It's a whole combination of things. If we're looking for a compilation book, I'll do a call out to florists to contribute. So it might be on wedding bouquets or prom work or funeral work, and we'll do a compilation book. We'll have designers come to us with a collection that they want to produce. Mm-hmm. We just produced a book by an Australian designer who does floral couture. It's beautiful. She was just at New York Fashion Week. Amazing work.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So we often ask companies this. Has your company ever had a near-death experience?
Many times. So,
many times?
Yeah.
Okay. So you can resuscitate, even cut flowers.
Yeah, there's always crises, always changes, always the market is always shifting. How you market, how you bring products to the market, where they come from, it's always shifting.
Okay. And how has luck played a role in your business?
You know, I don't really ever call it luck. I just call it finding the right people at the right time. They tend to come into your life, and that's what happens in the positive side, I think, more than luck.
Nice, nice. And then you can nurture those folks into the employees who you want or the colleagues who you want.
Or influencers.
Yeah, or influencers. Right. Great, great. So can you talk a little bit about how the current tariff situation is affecting the floral industry?
Well, it's really too early to say. Ecuador and Colombia really had a guaranteed non-tariff situation, so it's surprising that they actually have a 10% tariff now. So we'll see how that starts to affect prices here in the next few months. Certainly with China and all of the products that are being brought into florist shops, that's going to be a big shift for mm-hmm. florists. I don't even know how you can absorb those kind of tariffs or where they would source those kinds of products at this point.
So almost all florist products come from China now?
Yeah. Florists will typically go to the Atlanta or Dallas gift shows, and almost all of those are showrooms for Chinese products. You know, all of the little trinkets and vases and floral picks and, you know, all of the different things that florists purchase typically come from overseas, with the exception of some floral foam that comes from Ohio. There's a few products that are here from the U.S., but very few.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I mean, once again, the number of businesses affected by that you might not think about.
Yeah.
Well, great. It's been wonderful talking to you and learning more about your background in the floral industry and with this new recyclable, I will call it a vase, even though it's not a vase, it's a flower box, but it's wonderful.
Yeah.
And there's great ideas on the website on how to get kids to decorate them with stickers or how to make them look very upscale with ribbons. And so if people want to see more of those, they can go to flowerbox.com. So thank you again, Travis, for joining us on the show today.
Thanks so much for having me.
You've been listening to The Ground Floor on the Jefferson Exchange. My name is Cynthia Scherr, and you can find other episodes at jeffexchange.org and on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again.